Meetings like the National Astronomy Meeting provide an opportunity for the UK's astronomers to exchange ideas and discuss the latest projects and facilities. Sometimes that exchange of ideas can turn into lively debate. In recent decades, the vast majority of cosmologists, like Catherine, have been convinced of the existence of dark matter. But there are still a handful of theorists who have other ideas. As Catherine explained, the key evidence for dark matter on the scale of galaxies is that they spin too fast, as shown on plots that cosmologists call galaxy rotation curves. Dr. Benoît Fabi from the University of Strasbourg sparked controversy this week when he presented results from one of these alternative cosmologies.
So it's called modified Newtonian dynamics, or MOND, and it's not really a theory, it's more a paradigm which is stating that the gravitational field in a galaxy is fundamentally determined by the distribution of baryons in that galaxy. Then there are a few theories of gravity that are designed to reproduce this paradigm, which can explain a lot of phenomenology which we see in galaxies, which is more difficult to explain with the classical dark matter particles paradigm, because this relation in between the distribution of visible matter and dark matter in galaxies seems actually to work at least on galaxy scales, and it's kind of difficult to imagine how dark matter particles can arrange themselves to reproduce very precisely this relation.
So in this paradigm, you don't have any dark matter in your cosmology at all?
Well, it might be a little bit more complicated than that, in the sense that there is a very clear case that something behaving like dissipationless dust fluid must exist on cosmological scales. It could be, in principle, this new theory of gravity, it would, in any case, behave like dark matter on the larger scales and behave purely as a modified gravity theory on galaxy scales.
So would you argue that this is a simpler explanation of how this gravitational glue comes about?
It's actually simpler to explain the phenomenology that we see in galaxies. We can fit almost everything that we see in galaxies with just one free parameter, which would be the mass-to-light ratio, while within the dark matter picture, you need many more free parameters in your dark matter distribution.
Benoît, we'll come back to you in just a moment, but first I want to talk to Hongsheng Zhao from the University of St Andrews, who's applied this to the dynamics of a local group of galaxies. Hongsheng, what have you been doing?
Lately, I've been looking at scales a little bit larger than galaxy scales. Everybody knows that our Milky Way has a neighbor, a big one, called Andromeda. It's about 2 billion light years away from Milky Way. And nobody knows why it is at its present position. And it is also observed to be falling towards Milky Way with a not very big velocity, about 130 kilometers per second.
So people say that the Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way might collide in about 5 billion years' time.
Yeah, this problem, we are not the first person to notice this. You know, back long time ago, people have noticed if two galaxies so massive and close together, they might gravitationally interact. They're sort of falling towards each other, perhaps as a result of the gravitation. And people have used this argument to say, okay, what if Andromeda was start out fairly close to us and come back to us due to gravitation? And they have used this idea to estimate how much gravitation or how much material you need to generate that gravitation in order to explain its present position and velocity. So Benoît talked about theory of modified gravitation. Fundamentally, that type of theory is based on a kind of observation, which is saying galaxy rotation curves at very large radii is flat. That is a question that interests me. If galaxy rotations do not stop beyond the position of the sun, suppose that kind of a flat rotation curve keeps on going. Suppose Andromeda is actually going inside the same kind of potential, which suppose it was on circular orbit, it would also go flat rotation.
So I think you found that actually, in your model, Andromeda collided with the Milky Way in the past rather than in the future.
Yeah, so that's the surprising thing. That we say, okay, let's just take this toy model and just integrate it. And in fact, we integrate backwards because we want to know where it was. Surprisingly, the gravitation is fairly strong in this kind of flat rotation curve, and it has to, almost have to predict that it will hit Milky Way somewhere like half of the Hubble time.
So when the universe was about half its current age?
That's right, yeah.
Projects such as the weak lensing surveys that Catherine talked about earlier have produced detailed maps of the distribution of dark matter in the universe. In light of that, many theorists now believe that we know so much about dark matter that there is little useful science that can come out of studying alternative models. Dr. Karen Masters from the University of Portsmouth joined us.
Well, I think it's very important for scientists to explore all different kinds of theories, but as scientists we have to kind of accept that there can be evidence that disproves our theories, and we also have to, if we're going to change paradigms very significantly, find quite extraordinary evidence. And I think there's an awful lot of extremely good evidence, as Benoit was saying, for Lambda CDM, the standard dark matter model, on the very largest scales in the universe. And I think on the smaller scales where proponents of the MOND idea say there's big problems with Lambda CDM, I think that there's a lot of physics that we know that we don't understand very well, the physics of star formation, how gas clouds interact. And I think that using evidence on these scales with these types of physics, which we know we don't understand that well and we know can create all sorts of complications, using evidence on those scales to try to throw out our entire theory of gravity is not extraordinary enough evidence to do something that drastic. So I think that just generally, I'm really very well convinced that dark matter is this WIMP weakly interacting massive particle that people predict it is, and I would be extremely surprised if that's not detected in the next 10 to 20 years. And if it is not detected, the very natural predictions for a WIMP that is missing, that we haven't detected yet, the neutralino, for example, if that is not detected, then that's extraordinary evidence, and I think we start to need to think more carefully. But I don't believe that anything that's been put forward so far to support MOND is extraordinary evidence.
So, Benoit, we need extraordinary evidence, but we don't have that at the moment.
Well, I mean, I think it's not disputed, as we can hear, the fact that on galaxy scales, the predictions of MOND are working. Then the whole question is whether this success is an emergent success due to the existence of WIMPs and the feedback that you would get from the visible matter and the supernova explosions, etc., or whether this is a fundamental relation between distribution of visible matter and the gravitational field. My point of view is that because this relation works so well, and because it's history-independent and environment-independent, it works for galaxies that have had completely different histories and environments. And the fact that such a simple relation works observationally is, to me, extraordinary evidence that something fundamental is going on.
Karen?
I would perhaps bring up dwarf spheroidal galaxies, which I believe aren't fit well by the MOND paradigm, the fact that you need dark matter anyway on cluster scales. And, you know, I agree, MOND as a sort of phenomenological description for rotation curves of galaxies works very well for all of the galaxies that are published in MOND papers. I don't think it works so well for absolutely every galaxy we've ever observed.
Well, I think most of the papers that have claimed to have found a big problem with a rotation curve in MOND have been shown afterward to be rather weak. There are, on galaxy scales, there are, in my opinion, no strong experimental observational contradictions to the MOND predictions. Karen was mentioning dwarf spheroidal galaxies. I'm not sure we know so well the distribution of dark matter in dwarf spheroidal galaxies. And then there is another thing about dwarf spheroidal galaxies, which is directly related to our work, which is that the spatial distribution around the Milky Way and around Andromeda is completely ununderstood. And what is really important, I think, about what we have found in this work is that this past collision between the Andromeda and the Milky Way could actually generate new galaxies. So the dwarf spheroidal galaxies could have been born in this encounter, and this would naturally account for their very special geometry.
Hong Sheng.
So it's interesting. When we take this model backward, we found this collision. And in the beginning, I thought it was going to be a big problem because, you know, there was no sign of anything happening in the Milky Way. So I was half to think that if MOND was a falsifiable theory, this is falsified, because we do not see sign of a galaxy collided in the Milky Way. However, I was drawn to the attention of a few new observations. The satellites around the Milky Way are not arranged in some random fashion, but in one great circle, that is one disk, that encompasses Magellanic Clouds and a few other smaller satellites. And this reminds me that this bad thing that I found about MOND may even be the solution to that.
So, Karen, do you think there's evidence for a collision between these two galaxies in the past?
No, not really, to be honest. I certainly agree that the distribution of satellites around the two galaxies is very interesting and something that warrants further study, but again, I don't think that it means we need to change the standard models of gravity on these scales. I mean, I think, again, this is potentially quite testable if you look very carefully at the ages of the satellite galaxies. I don't think you'll find that they all formed together at a single time in a collision. And again, the sort of the physics of star formation, of how gas works, that's not something that you can run the clock backwards on. So that seems like an oversimplistic treatment of that. And also in the standard model of CDM, it does leave a lot of wiggle room, basically, for finding unexpected things on galactic scales. So I don't see any problems with that at all.
And I guess we have quite well-established theories of how galaxies interact when they collide.
Yeah, if this is indeed the model that we should expect, I'd like to see a proper simulation, including star formation in both the MOND and the dark matter paradigm, and I very much hope that that happens. And again, I think it's really important to explore lots of different ideas. I'm just not seeing any extraordinary evidence here that MOND is definitely the right answer.
Hong Sheng.
The question is not really whether MOND is definitely the answer or not. It's presently, there are observations out there of a vicinity, things we really know very well, we can see the structure, that we cannot find a good answer in the standard frame. Right now, we don't see any solution to the disk of satellite. This point has been made not just by me, but been made by many people. Whether you believe MOND or not, that's a different issue, but some interaction like this has to happen to create things.
Karen.
So just one statement, just that large numbers of satellite galaxies are very natural in the CDM paradigm, and they naturally form in small sort of microhalos of dark matter. The distribution is slightly unusual, but galaxies have all sorts of different formation scenarios, and we know that star formation proceeds in different ways in different parts of the universe. So I suspect we're going to find an explanation for the unusual distribution of satellites quite naturally within cold dark matter to do with the formation history of the two galaxies, and don't need to go to the lengths of claiming all of these galaxies are tidal dwarfs.
Benoit.
So I think the whole problem here is that within the cold dark matter framework, this distribution of satellite galaxies and actually the number of dwarf satellite galaxies that we see around the Milky Way and around Andromeda are both problems that at the moment the community is trying to solve by just waving hands and not having a very concrete model being able to explain it. And these two problems are difficult to reconcile within the dark matter paradigm.
That was Benoît Fabé from the University of Strasbourg. And earlier, we heard from Hongsheng Zhao of the University of St Andrews, and also from Karen Masters from the University of Portsmouth.